Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
This morning I've entitled my message, Jesus' Hope for Mankind. Is Jesus your hope today? I said, is Jesus your hope this morning, church? I believe in this day and age that we are living in, church, it's rarely discussed during this Christmas time who exactly or what exactly Christmas is all about. And the truth is it's about Jesus, amen? It is about celebrating his virgin birth, and it's about humanity joining together to acknowledge the great sacrifice that was made for us more than 2,000 years ago, amen? And if we go back in history, we go back in time and we look, church, 2,000 years ago, there was a period of time of over 400 years where the Jewish people had not heard from heaven. And there was a time where the prophets were silent, and there was a time where it almost seemed as if heaven was still. And there was a groaning, there was a period of time where there was a desperation beginning to build in the hearts of men because they were waiting for this promised Messiah. The last words that had come from the prophet Malachi were that the Lord was going to return. The promised Messiah, the one that the Jews had been longing for, was soon to come. But in the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Messiah's birth, they had to be fulfilled in Christ. That is, they had to be fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And so the Jews, they needed to know that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin, especially those who might have misinterpreted the Old Testament prophecies and they were not expecting a Messiah to be virgin born. But the truth was that it was common that one of the slanderous reports facing early Christian believers at this time was that Jesus was born out of wedlock. Fake news. Amen. Isaiah 7:14 says this: therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. And the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Amen? God with us. But in these times, many people did not listen. In fact, most did not realize until the death of Jesus that he was, in fact, the Messiah. And even up into our modern day era, many people are still waiting for whom. Or what you might ask, I believe the answer is for many. For those of us that know Jesus, we are waiting for his return, amen? We are waiting for him to rapture the church, to be taken up with him in glory forever, amen? But those who do not believe in Jesus are waiting for someone to bring their desired answers, their desired hope. They're longing for someone to bring things like world peace, to bring riches and wealth and prosperity. Someone to bring immortality, or even someone else to bring hope. But what is mind-boggling is this, church, is how can so many generations miss this important event in history? How can so many people overlook the birth of the Prince of Peace, the birth of him who holds all things together, the birth of him alone who can offer forgiveness of sin and life to a dead soul? How could so many people miss this event? And so this morning, for the next few moments, I want to answer this question, and that is this, is who was that child that was born on Christmas 2,000 years ago? I believe, church, that when Jesus was born, he was automatically ensued, endowed as hope for humanity. Amen? How many of you need hope? I said, how many of you need hope? I spoke to you last week. I had the privilege of ministering the word, and I spoke this statement. When people are without peace in their hearts, it leads them to hopelessness. And so the enemy attacks the peace of God that you may have in your life if you are a believer. That is, he will attack every single facet of your life to rob you of peace, because peace is what? It is a fruit of God being with you. Amen? It's the evidence of God being in your life and present in your life. And many people that are living in this world today, that are walking our streets, that are living in our communities, do not have peace. And they wonder why they don't have peace, but maybe it's because their trust is in the government. Or maybe it's because their trust is in their finances, their jobs, their careers. Their trust is in their armor or their weaponry to somehow give them peace in their hearts. Peace can never be found outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? It cannot be found. True inner peace can never be found outside of Jesus. And so I believe that Jesus is hope for humanity. I've said this and I'll say it again. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, how many of you are believers this morning? Raise your hand. All right, there's a couple of you that didn't raise your hand. That means you're going to get saved today. All right. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there is not any circumstance that you can go through in this life that should leave you without hope. Not one thing. That means with Christ in your life, you always have hope. I said you always have hope. It does not mean that dark moments won't come. It does not mean that circumstances and burdens won't be heavy. But it simply means, church, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And so Jesus was born to be hope for humanity. The very birth of this child, he had all the authority of God the Father. Isaiah 9 and 6 says this, Sister Angie recited it this morning. It says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, it says, this word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And we have seen the glory, his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, we have beheld Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. And when he was sent to this earth, church, he was sent with an authority and he was sent with a power to be able to change the way the world operated up until that point. He was sent not to just be an addition to the world, but he was sent to be the center of the world. He was sent to be the one that men would look to and would long for. He was sent to be the one, church, that you and I would say, you know what, I've tried everything that the world had to offer, but yet I am still unfulfilled. Jesus is the missing puzzle piece inside of your heart. He is the only one, church, that we can turn to for true hope. And so God sent his son to be born of a virgin birth. That is, he sent him to dwell amongst us. He wasn't a false god or a faraway idol or image, but he was the very fulfillment of all of those who had prophesied before him. Jesus fulfilled everything. Some people have different beliefs about who Jesus was. Jesus himself asked his disciples that question. He says, who do men say that I am? And some of their responses were, well, we've heard that some say that you're the son of Joseph and Mary. Others said that he was the son of the carpenter. Others said that he was a prophet, or he was like a prophet. And it was Peter who uttered the words. He says, but you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. I won't lessen who you are. I won't reduce you to just another one of the prophets. I won't reduce you to just another man. The one that was born of Mary and Joseph. No. I have identified in you that you are the Messiah. You are the one that we have been praying for. You are the one that our hearts have yearned for. You are the one that will be the answer to every single circumstance in this world. But yet some people could still not understand. How could the Savior of the world come as a baby? One that didn't even have a proper place to be born. How could this child be hope, be the hope that so many were waiting for? In Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 21, it says, I will clothe him with your robe and fasten your sash around him and hand your authority over to him. And he will be a father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And he says, and I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. You see, as a baby, Jesus was given all authority in heaven. There's a beautiful story in the Gospels, and it's talking about Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother, and Mary. And the Bible says that when they had come into contact, Elizabeth and Mary were both pregnant at the same time. And the Bible says that when they had come into contact with one another, Elizabeth declared that the baby in her womb, that was John the Baptist, the one who would go on to foretell the story of Jesus, who would prepare the way for Jesus, the Bible says that the baby in her womb leapt. He leapt because he identified the Spirit of the living God living inside of Mary's life. And church, I say that everything that Christmas has done up until this point has tried to cover the true meaning of Christmas. It's all about candy canes, and it's all about, you know, the presents that you will get, and it's all about the commercialism of the holiday and maybe a good deal that you might get at the store. Those are all nice things. I pray that you bought me a present. But if you didn't, it's okay, because I have Jesus living inside of my heart. I have the greatest gift of all. But I believe today someone is looking for somebody in this world to show physical strength, to show this authority or this power through government or through certain things. But the Bible says Jesus was weak in the flesh so he could be strong in the spirit. The world today is looking for someone that is likable, that is popular, that is maybe even charismatic, and yet Jesus was humble, and he was hated by many, and he was even desired to be dead at birth. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said. He says, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.'" How could it be that this one who was going to be the hope for humanity already be destined to die since he was barely born into the world? I believe there were two kinds of people that knew who this child was. They were, one, those who knew God. The Bible describes a man named Simeon. And they describe the character of Simeon. He was a man that was devout. He was righteous. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he was waiting for this Messiah to come and to rescue all of them. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, skip to 26, guys. It says, "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And so this man, Simeon, was given a prophetic word. He was told that he would see the Messiah. And it was this beautiful picture because Simeon had been waiting. He had not beheld Jesus with his eyes. But it was this hope that he had inside of his heart. It was knowing in his heart, and he was certain in his heart that he had faith enough to believe that one day he would behold the Son of God. And the Bible says that Simeon, he had this beautiful opportunity to be able to dedicate Jesus as a baby unto God. He got to hold the Messiah. And for so many people, some of you might think this is so contrary to thinking about power and authority, but yet this baby held it all. It wasn't what the world thought it would look like. Jesus didn't show up the way that they thought that he would. Before Jesus was sent to earth, Simeon had this relationship with God, and he knew through the prophets that this Messiah would come, and so he was able to identify Jesus. Many of you have heard a lot of words over the years, and maybe you've been taught a lot of scripture, but the question is can you identify Jesus? You see, it's not just simply knowing what the word says, but it's beholding him in your heart. It's being sensitive enough to know when he's moving and what he's saying. You see, the closeness of a relationship with the Holy Spirit is exactly what the Lord has offered you and I today. We too that are in Christ, we know who Jesus is, amen? And regardless of the fact that we have never seen him in the flesh like Simeon's eyes had not beheld Jesus, our spirit will bear witness to his. I said, your spirit will bear witness to the Holy Spirit of God. That is, you will be able to know when it is that God is moving. You will be able to know when it is that the Lord is speaking and that the Lord is in the room. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 says, verse 8 says this. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Is that you this morning? It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. It says, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Amen. John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus speaking, he says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Amen. The second person that knew who Jesus was actually Satan himself. The Bible says that the devil had filled the heart of King Herod with pride. Why would such a powerful king set out to kill a baby? See, the enemy had made Herod aware that a new government and a new authority was going to take place through this child. And many had ignored the scripture and they were not expecting a child to be born. And so today, Christmas isn't about the opportunity for spiritual birth, but it's more about material wealth and gain. But even 2,000 years later, no matter what has been made of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus still desires to save. He still desires to heal. He still desires to be the source of hope for all mankind, to a lost and hurting world. Can somebody say amen this morning? Matthew 13 and 15 says this, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might have seen with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn. And he says, and I would heal them. Everyone say this, our nation needs Jesus. Our nation needs the Lord, church. And you and I are those that he has commissioned and left behind. You and I are those who he has left as a remnant in this earth to be able to be the salt of the earth and the light of this world. Amen? But if the world doesn't have Jesus, it's because maybe we don't have him ourselves. Maybe it's because we're not living for him ourselves. Today, this king is seated in heaven. I believe that he desires every single one of our hearts. Secondly, the virgin child was born as peace for humanity. See, the unified cry of this world has always been for peace. Amen? But peace outside of Christ and is just stillness and quietness for your ear. It isn't actually peace for your soul. And so Isaiah 9 and 7 says this, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And it says, and the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In Job chapter 22, verse 21, it says, submit to God and be at peace with him, and in this way prosperity will come to you. Amen? In Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, it says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. What does it go on to say? The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. It actually kind of disturbs me when I see so many Christians, they say that they love Jesus, but yet they have no peace. That means I don't have to know the inside of a person's heart to know that they themselves aren't right with God. That's what the verses are explaining this morning. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. The Bible describes in the book of Hebrews, it will be as an anchor for your soul. That anytime the wind and the waves try to push you this direction or that direction, That anytime fear tries to move you in such a way, the Bible says that it's an anchor for our soul. That means that we might sway a little bit this way, but we won't let go. We might sway a little bit that way, but we're still held on tight. Why? Because of our hope and our belief in Jesus Christ. And so as this generation continues to try to make peace with other nations by finding common ground for the economy or the earth or resources or whatever, it will never be in true peace unless it is in Christ. Amen? If you desire peace for your home or your family or your financial security and even the peace and confidence of knowing who you are or knowing that you're saved, remain in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Trust fully in the Lord. I meet people all the time and it's kind of sad when people say that they'll pray for you, but they actually don't. Oh, yeah, brother, I'll pray about that. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Raise your hand if you've ever told somebody that you were going to pray for them and you actually didn't. No, it's okay. Don't raise your hand. You understand what I'm talking about this morning? Outside of Jesus, there is no peace. We must remain in Christ. Isaiah 48 and 22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." None. Their heart will be in agony. It will be under duress and distress. It will never be settled outside of Jesus. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions." I shared that verse last week. "He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." You see, this peace, church, that surpasses all understanding, it came first through the baby Jesus. Can you thank the Lord for that this morning? Amen. And finally today, the birth of Jesus brought salvation for all humanity. For every single person. You see, many people have tried to refute and argue that God, in fact, exists. And despite many claiming to believe in Jehovah God or in their own gods, but how could man be so blind in this way that historians don't argue the fact that Jesus Christ existed and lived on this earth? So how come they do not believe in God? After all, the scripture says in Matthew 1 and 23, it says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. How could they identify the fact that Jesus was in fact real and true and alive, but yet not behold him as their Lord and Savior, yet not believe enough to know that he is God in fact with us? God is with us, church. I said, God is with us. He is here. He is now. He is here in this place right now. And he is living in the hearts of men that have trusted and confessed him as Lord and Savior for their life. He exists within the hearts of men, church, that have given him lordship over their lives. He is still active in healing. He is still active in saving. He still delivers, church. He still restores. He still forgives people. And guess what? He is alive today. But see, faith is what takes you into that realm of understanding all of that. Faith is what takes you into that place of saying, listen, I will not look at my circumstance. I will not give attention to that which is inferior to the name of Jesus. But if I put my hope in him, if I look up to the hills where my help comes from, my heart will be filled. I will have a security in my life, a confidence, a belief, a steadfastness, an anchorship, because he is my Lord. This world needs peace, church. It needs forgiveness. It needs salvation. It needs deliverance so much. It needs restoration. But Jesus asked an important question in his life. He said, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith?" Some of you are just waiting like a person that waits at a bus stop. Well, I hope he shows up one of these days. That's not the waiting that Jesus is calling us to wait in and wait for. It's, will you have faith in all circumstances? Will you trust and will you believe despite what is happening? I've said this many times and I believe it with all of my heart. Feelings, church, are not final. I said, feelings are not final. They're just, they're emotions. They're temporary. They come, they go. They, you know, your mood changes. You'll be a different person tomorrow if you know, you wake up and you had your coffee. Some of y'all need your coffee right now. Y'all look a little disturbed this morning. But it's being able to walk in this world that has no hope. Walking in this world that seems like it's getting darker and darker every day. And actually going, I'm fine. Jesus, when you come, I'm ready. I long for your appearing. Not simply as an exit plan from this world. But Jesus, I just long to see you. I just long to see you move and inhabit our hearts and our lives and our families the way that you want to. And Lord, I will do everything in my power, God, to leave my heart open and exposed so that you could come in. Jesus is a gentleman. Did you know that? In fact, he will not enter into the home of your heart unless you invite him in. He cannot inhabit the areas unless you have given him invitation into those places in your life. Some of you have been living with things, or you're simply coping with things because you have not yet opened the door for Jesus to enter into that area. You've simply just, you know, adjusted your mindset to think that it's always going to be this way. This illness that I'm dealing with, it's always going to be this way. Tell that to Zacchaeus. He knew that Jesus was passing by in the city, and the Bible says that he had so much faith that he climbed that sycamore tree to just be able to get a glimpse of this Jesus, because he knew that if he saw him, he would be healed. Tell that to the young men that lowered that paralytic through the roof of the church. Imagine somebody busting a hole in the church right now. Hear drills and saws and, you know, it's going like, what's going on up there? And they knew that Jesus was in the house. They had faith enough to believe that if they could just present this man that had this need before Jesus, that he would do exactly what it was that they had hoped for. In church, that is real faith. That is faith enough to believe that even if the circumstance does not look like it's impossible, there's no way Jesus can step in. Listen, we must believe. We must believe that his name is greater than all things. It is greater than all things. Jesus is our salvation, amen? Not our money, not our job security, not our food or drink, not material things, not our homes. Jesus alone is our salvation. Acts 4 and 12 says this, salvation is found in no one else. And you could probably even add, in nothing else. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If that doesn't make perfect sense, I don't know what does. No other name. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not Kabbalah. It's not Scientology. It's not an agenda. It's not a government. It's not who you voted for. It's Jesus. It has and it will always be only Jesus, church. Only Jesus. The name of Jesus, church, is the highest of names. That every name under it must confess and will confess one day that he is Lord. But guess what? I would rather bend my knee now and say yes to Jesus than wait and have my knee bended for me in a Christless eternity. Because the Bible says that every knee will bow. Even the guy that says, well, I'm an atheist. Well, don't worry, sir, your knee will bow. Oh, well, I don't believe in that. It's going to bow. Every knee will bow and every name under heaven must confess that he is Lord. There's no exemption. Kings and dictators and government rulers, the presidents and terrorists and cartels and Hollywood actors and actresses, athletic superstars, the rich, the poor, the liked, the hated, the popular, the unpopular, the proud, the humble, the sick, the well, the believers, the unbelievers, the materialistic, the indigenous, all of humanity must bow to the name of Jesus, church. They must bow to the name of Jesus. And so the question is, who was this child? I can tell you with certainty in my heart that he is my hope. He is my hope today. He is my Savior. He is the one who redeemed my soul, church. And I pray that he has done the same thing for you this morning. As I ask you to stand to your feet, Jeremy, can you come? As I ask you to stand to your feet this morning, the Lord wants us, church, to open our heart. To open our heart and not simply be distracted by anything else that the world is trying to fill our hearts and our lives with. And there's a lot of things that the world is trying to put in your life. There's a lot of things that the world is trying to fill your heart with. Fear is one of them. I will not allow any single fear that the world purports and tries to push and tries to fill my heart with to ever push out the space that Jesus inhabits. He is here this morning. I said, Jesus is here this morning. He is hope. He is salvation. He is grace. He is mercy. He is peace. He is the providence that you've always needed. He is the answer that you've always hoped for. Doesn't matter the way that he came. It just matters that the fact that he did. As I ask every head to be bowed this morning, I want to make this simple invitation to you today. And that is this, is that you would open the door of your heart to receive Jesus Christ in your life. You say, Pastor Duke, if this morning was my last moment in this world and on this earth, I need to have the peace and the understanding in my life that if I accept you and I receive you today, that means that the very thing that you died to give me, which was forgiveness of sin, the very thing that you died to give me, which was to pay the penalty that I owed, that if I receive you in my heart and in my life today, I am now redeemed. I owe nothing because you paid it all for me. I owe nothing because I have simply said yes to you, and now you inhabit my heart and now you inhabit my life. If someone in this place needs to be sure today, that if today was the last moment on this world that you would be an inhabitant of heaven, I want you to lift up your hand right now. Now I want to pray with you today. You say, Pastor Duke, I need Jesus this morning. I cannot do this on my own. Just lift up your hand so that I could see it. I want to pray over your life today, Jesus. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, I want us to pray. Everyone say, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I open the door of my heart to receive you as my Lord. I believe that you died for my sins. I confess today that I am a sinner in need of saving. I receive you today as my hope, as my salvation, as my strength, as my peace from this moment forward. Come into my heart, and I will live for you from this moment on. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.